Picture a man born into bondage, his leg permanently damaged by his master's cruelty, yet his mind soaring freer than any emperor's. Epictetus never wrote a single word. His student Arrian transcribed his lectures, yet his voice echoes through millennia. When Navy pilot James Stockdale ejected over Vietnam in 1965, he whispered to himself, "I'm leaving the world of technology and entering the world of Epictetus." Those teachings sustained him through 7 years of torture. Today, everyone from Silicon Valley founders to therapists draws from this former slave's wisdom. What did he understand that we've forgotten? Life constantly presents us with a choice we rarely recognize: spend energy on what we can change or waste it on what we cannot. Epictetus draws a stark line. On one side sits everything truly ours: our judgments, responses, interpretations, choices. On the other, everything else: your body, your reputation, your possessions, other people's opinions, even whether you live or die tomorrow. This isn't pessimism, it's liberation. Think about your last major frustration. Perhaps someone cut you off in traffic, or a colleague took credit for your work, or your flight got canceled. The event itself, beyond your control. But your interpretation, that's entirely yours. Two people receive the same cancer diagnosis. One spirals into despair, feeling victimized by fate. The other accepts reality and focuses on what remains within their power: their attitude, their relationships, how they'll spend their time. The diagnosis is identical. The experience is worlds apart. We're actors in a play we didn't write, but we can choose to play our role with excellence or complaint. The driver who cut you off might be rushing to the hospital. Our suffering comes not from events, but from our judgments about them. We possess something that elevates us beyond mere survival: reason, the divine spark. Not divine in some mystical sense, but recognizing our capacity to examine our own thoughts, to question appearances, to choose responses rather than react instinctively. Most people never use this capacity. They see something they want and grab for it. Think of your mind as a nightclub bouncer. Impressions constantly try to enter. That person disrespected you. You need that new phone. The untrained mind lets every impression waltz right in. The trained mind checks credentials. The billionaire in his penthouse might be enslaved, while the janitor cleaning his floors might be perfectly free. Freedom isn't about external circumstances. It's about mastery over your desires and fears. You're enslaved whenever you need something outside your control to be happy. Need approval? Enslaved. Need wealth for security? Enslaved. Need perfect health to enjoy life? Enslaved. All these can be taken by others' whims, economic collapse, or random misfortune. Real freedom comes from wanting only what you can guarantee yourself: good character, proper judgment, virtuous action. These cannot be taken unless you surrender them. Epictetus learned this in chains. His master could imprison his body, but couldn't touch his mind. When threatened with leg breaking, he calmly replied, "I told you it would break." No anger, no fear, just acceptance of what he couldn't control. This isn't about becoming emotionless. It's about directing your emotional energy wisely. Fear your own vices, not poverty. Desire virtue, not wealth. When you restructure your desires this way, you become invulnerable, not because nothing bad happens, but because nothing that happens can harm what you truly value. Philosophy isn't something you study. It's something you practice, like basketball or piano. Epictetus ran his school like a gym for the soul, where students trained for virtue through deliberate exercises. Start small. Skip dessert occasionally. Take a cold shower. Sit with discomfort without reaching for your phone. These aren't punishments, but training. When real adversity strikes, you'll have the mental muscles to handle it. The core practice? Examining your impressions before accepting them. Someone insults you, and anger flares. Stop. Did they actually insult you or challenge a behavior that needed challenging? This pause between stimulus and response is where freedom lives. Each evening, review your day like a coach reviewing game footage. Where did you apply your principles? Where did you fail? Not to beat yourself up, but to learn. Epictetus compares difficulties to a wrestling coach matching you with a tough opponent, not as punishment, but as development. That difficult coworker, your patience trainer. That financial setback, your resilience builder. Every challenge becomes an opportunity to practice philosophy under pressure. Epictetus reframes relationships. You cannot control other people, only your own conduct. Most relationships involve unspoken contracts. If you loved me, you'd these. Expectations guarantee disappointment because they depend on controlling others' behavior. Instead, focus on playing your role excellently, regardless of how others play theirs. With your teenager's poor choices, control your guidance, not their choices. With your spouse's disappointments, control your compassion, not their behavior. This isn't giving up. It's focusing energy where it actually makes a difference. His haunting advice, when kissing your child goodnight, whisper to yourself, tomorrow you may die. Not morbidly, but to recognize reality. Everything we love is mortal, temporary, on loan. Grasping this stops us taking people for granted. We appreciate them fully while they're here, without the illusion of possessing them forever. This isn't cold detachment, it's love without clinging's anxiety. Even difficult people become opportunities. That judgmental relative, your patience practice. That gossiping coworker, your integrity test. They're not obstacles to your peace, they're the training equipment that builds it. We waste energy avoiding death, yet this avoidance diminishes our lives. Epictetus flips the script. Keep death before your eyes daily, not to become morbid, but to become fully alive. When you remember your time is finite, you stop wasting it on trivial concerns. Death cannot harm what you truly are, your capacity for virtue, your rational faculty, your character. This perspective transforms how we face adversity. Disease is an impediment to the body, Epictetus explains, but not to the will unless the will itself chooses. Cancer might ravage your body, but it cannot make you cowardly or cruel unless you allow it. Rather than asking, why is this happening to me? Ask, how can I respond virtuously? Viktor Frankl echoed this in Nazi concentration camps. Everything can be taken from you except your freedom to choose your attitude. Epictetus suggests we can face even death with equanimity. I must die, but must I die groaning? Not because death is good, but because our judgment about it creates our suffering. Epictetus offers radical simplicity. Control only what you can, accept what you cannot, and know the difference. This isn't resignation. It's focusing your finite energy where it actually matters. Hardship will come. Your body will age. People will disappoint you. Plans will collapse. You cannot prevent these things, but you can prevent them from disturbing your peace. Start today. Notice your next frustration and ask, is this within my control? If not, let it go. If so, act on it. Practice this distinction until it becomes instinctive. True freedom exists only in the mind that cannot be enslaved. Genuine wealth lies in wanting less. The good life isn't found in controlling circumstances, but in perfecting your response to them. Your chains are mostly imaginary. The key has always been in your hand.